He would be the Machnes. It would, number one, be disrespectful, perhaps, to Moshe to emphasize that Yahushua is just as capable. And number two, it might be ineffective and counterproductive. However, on a deeper level, we could learn that maybe Yahushua himself has the same insecurities. There is a vada, he's not going to go along with the miracle. But the concept is, in his panemius, just as Moshe was a reluctant leader, Moshe told Hashem, am I wrong? Yahushua might be going through those same hesitations. And as a result, if the issue is, we're not ready, we need more time, who is more likely to feel, I need more time to absorb the Torah, the Kedusha, the Hadracha, from a Moshe Rabbeinu, than Yahushua? And that could explain why Moshe felt necessary to pray for Yahushua and not for Korach. Because Yahushua would be the one of the two tzaddikim, and Moshe apparently knew that these were the two tzaddikim, it was Bedavka Yahushua who was more likely to be nichshal in this L'shem Shamayim, because it would be Yahushua that would feel he would need more of the spiritual hadracha that the Negor could give him. Actually, other Mepharshim say too that because Yahushua is from Ephraim and Ephraim is from Yosef, we find that Shevet Yosef was nichshal in Lashon Hara. That's another pshat. In other words, what did Yosef do? Yosef brought Lashon Hara about his brothers back to Yaakov. So some want to say that since Yahushua comes from Shevet Ephraim, Moshe was afraid that from Yosef there would be the inclination to speak Lashon Hara. And in fact, and that's why he bedafka prayed for Yahushua more than for Kalev. In fact, the Meshech Chachma says, we have a little bit of a deal. If you look at the list of the Meraglim, it says, Lamate Ephraim Hoshea bin Nun. And then when it mentions Menashe, it says, Lamate Yosef, Lamate Menashe. It mentions the Meraglim from Menashe. Now, why doesn't it say, in other words, it mentions from Menashe, from Mate Yosef, Shevet Yosef, it doesn't mention Shevet Yosef Ephraim. So Mitzvah Chachma has to say that since Alibi the Emes, Yahushua was not Nichshal in the Cheder Meraglim, the Torah is not Miyachis him to Yosef, who committed Lashon Hara, but the Torah is Miyachis only Menashe to Yosef, with Lashon Hara. But we could say that's what happened, Alibi the Emes, that's what truly happened. But in terms of Moshe's fear, maybe he was afraid Yahushua would be Nichshal. So this is the idea of the chait, which is sometimes done with Shem Shemayim, to remain in the Midbar, to remain and to be protected, to be enveloped, to develop Kedusha. And indeed, we have to understand that, going back to my first point, that the Amunah, that the Hashkacha is a function of Amunah, in a way you can look at the 40 years not only as a punishment, but in fact to give B'nai Yisrael what they need. If they need it, they need it. And they will get it. They will get those 40 years. So if you go over this, you see that there are really like four nekudas, four points that emerge from this explanation. One is the concept that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants B'nai Yisrael to take the lessons of the Midbar and apply them to a real life, not to live a life which is separated from the physical, but to live a life that can elevate the physical and see the Yad of Hashem even in the Inyanim of Olam Hazeh. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but it is said, the Maral says, that women have a special role in sanctifying the physical existence. Another famous one, I'm sure you've heard of it, 1,000 Sheva Brachas, that Ish and Isha have the Yod in the Hay, which is Hashem's name. And if you take out the Yod in the Hay, you have Eish, a destroying, consuming fire. But if you put in the Yod in the Hay, we have a man and a woman, we have a Shalom Bayis. So the Maral asks the Kasha, why does the man get the Yod of Hashem's name and the woman get the Hay of Hashem's name? Right? In other words, Yod and Hay are Hashem's name, but why do you... So the Maral quotes the Gemara in the Nachas that says, Yud is the letter from which Hashem created Olam Haba. So Yud is pure spirituality. That's why it has no dimensions. A yud is a pencil. A yud is a little point. Olam Haba has no dimensions, no length or width. The hay, the Maral says, is a composite of a dalet and a yud. I would have said dalet and vav, but he wants to say dalet and a yud. You see, the yud. Now, dalet is pure materialism, because dalet represents the four corners of the world, four directions. It represents the four dimensions, right? Length, the width, the breadth, and time. The yud represents spirituality. So the Maral says the kayach of Isha is to bring ruchnius into the physical world, to take the yud and bring it to the dalet. So we say, for example, that a man, again, these are generalizations and these are tendencies, these are not necessarily universal applications to every individual or thug, but he says the man will tend to be corrupted by the world. The man will be degraded by the world. The world will bring out the worst in the male: aggressiveness, jealousy, possessiveness. And therefore, often a man needs to seek Kedusha by a certain amount of disengagement, separation. We go to yeshiva, we go to kollel, we go to shul, we separate ourselves. A man does not have the capacity of the hay to bring Kedusha into the physical world. The woman's gift, the Maral says, is to be able to live in the physical reality of the world and to be machnes a yud into the dalet, the way a house is set up, the way an environment is structured. And the Maral says that one of the lessons, one of the ezer kenegdai, one of the help that a woman brings to a man, is to teach the man how to see kedusha in the physical world as well, and not merely to escape it. So we know it's all maharach in this, but in a way, therefore, it's very interesting that the women did not commit the chait of the Moroccan, right? We know that the women, it's almost like the Mitziv, although he doesn't draw this conclusion, it fits very beautifully. Because if the chait of the Moroccan was the feeling that we cannot truly be Ovdei Hashem when we are confronted with the demands of a physical world, the women who bring the yod into the hay, the Dafka realized that that is the higher Madrega of an Avodas Hashem. That's a level. In fact, this goes with Sarai and Sarah. Again, it goes back with the concept that that's why Avraham, well, he just said that the Yid of Sarai was split into two hays. One Medrash says one hay was added to Avraham's name, Avraham, and the other hay was Sarah. I think the Maral basically says, I think the Imam says it on this, that Bris Mila also represents the ability to sanctify the physical. That is, in the male, that is the symbol of, because the organ of the Mila is the most physical, most involuntary, animalistic part of the person, because it is not under rational control. And you show that even that can be sanctified. And that's why he says, after Bris Mila, Avraham gets the ice hay, the letter of hay, because it's the capacity to be Makadesh, the physical. And the yud of Sarai, in fact, the kayach of Sarai is now dispersed and divided between Avraham and Sarai.
I thought
of
the
Shabbos
that the yud of Sarai was given to the ritual.
Right, that's another chazal. Right.
The ritual was bad. And then there's a genetic that can be explained that he was bad at the time he was given the name of the yud, or he was bad in the name of the yud, he was bad in the name of the yud, he was bad in the name of the daughters.
Uh-huh. Are you asking generally why call someone darn because he didn't have
is it only the thing of Yerusha, but since there's both women, I have Yerusha.
Well, yeah, but you know, these are hard things to explain. I think the simple explanation would be that having a child is not just having a child, but it's a way of kind of an eternal perpetuation of your life. And the concept is, even in terms of carrying on a name, since a daughter gets married to somebody else and will normally take on that name, and in terms of Yichus and Mishpacha, the Mishpacha would be Al Shem the Av. So, you know, I understand it's a technical...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A daughter is right. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. I understand. I understand that. But again, I think you yourself have indicated that from Yibum we see that, you know, having a daughter is considered to be a hakamas shame, portrayed. Yeah, no, that's true. It's true. But all I'm saying is that if you find in Chazal a relative disparagement of having sons and having daughters, it's not necessarily because, you know, the little baby that's in front of you is less precious if they're a girl or a boy, but it refers more to the eternal consequences of a daughter rather than the son, in terms of perpetuating. In other words, that would be, I think, the chiluk. It wouldn't be. Well, but the other, but the other alternative doesn't work either. But the to disparage the birth of the best also is even less consistent with the idea of evil, right? I mean, doesn't I hear. But anyway, just going back to this, so that's one lesson of the Meraglim, the concept of being Mekadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'teva. Yeah, sorry. The second lesson, again, goes back to the fact that a person has to be makir their godless, their greatness in Avodas Hashem. You know, it's an interesting idea. We talk about, in Talmud Gevurah Eliyahu, there's a beautiful Maamar Chazal that says a person has to have two ideas in their pocket at all times. One is Anochi Efer V'Efer, I am dust and ashes, I am nothing. And the other is Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, because of me, one person, Hashem made the whole world. And the Baal HaMusar say that a person is in a very difficult predicament if they don't recognize their shortcomings. But they're even in a worse predicament if they don't recognize their greatness. In fact, there are different schools of Musar. Some emphasize focusing on your shortcomings. Others say you have to focus on godless. And most Gedolim have said that in this generation we need to focus on godless because we're not strong enough. In the old days, you could tell a person all their faults and they would say, okay, I'll work on it. Today we would just get Shabrachim and we would...
And so we were in their eyes. The Tetzi Rebbe says there's a causal link in those two phrases. If you regard yourself as a grasshopper, then indeed you have become a grasshopper. The perception becomes the reality. Now there's a story in the Messiah, after the flood in Palestine, there were many children. They were orphans, they were going to show, etc. And I think it was Rebbe, it was a Rebbe HaMessi, he looked in it. A child, one of the great Hanan, went to the raisin. And he was told that the child would become a male prostitute. He wasn't a child, he was an adolescent. So he took the boy home and he made the boy wear the shoe. The boy said, how can I be a shoe? What are you doing? He said, well, I think you can be a shoe. So every day the boy wanted to go back to his old farm. And the Rebbe told him, how can you do this? You're a shoe to come to you. So the concept was that the boy grew into what he was called to was. He became what he was. And every human being, there is good and there is bad. There is strength and there is weakness. But what emerges in the personality is a function of what is identified, what is emphasized, what is nurtured, what is called for his attention, for her attention. That's what it has to be able to say. But if they would have had a perception, if they would have the strength to be able to come to the universe as well, then they would have been able to do it. But that was done. The same way that the strength of your Amina and Hashem between the level of Hashem, the strength of your Amina and Hashem can only do it. So in effect, make that ability. So they don't have to be realistic. They would have to make it a greater and make it more. Make them head of a title. But, you know, again, there would have been a reason of what a person mind in his eyes.
But
is, and you just said to your study, baby, you can restudy it. If you look at, for example, you don't know, if you look at wrestling or UFC, it would only be a speculation. That is, but you could say that part of the WC was a carry. It wasn't only a carry of that, he was WC, but he supported it, but he became what he was. He saw that in him. So he wouldn't have seen it in him, and wouldn't have come out. Somebody saw that poetry. And he did the same thing with our lives, with our husbands, with our children, with our teachers, whatever the position we have to do. So we have to have a focus. We allow to think what you see is what you get. But in a different way, not that, not the way that you do it, but what you focus on is a person. But when you start, you come to reality. Give excuses even when you don't have an excuse. You can hear somebody who had an excuse and didn't want to give it. So it's a very good mission to say, gee. But nothing is going to be a person. I'm going to have a critical thing. That it would create a person who would want to be a person. You're going 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 to be a person. The very young of that day, if I was given, the benefit of the building to 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 the the wonderful. That's The rest of the